Welcome to Sellersburg United Methodist Church podcast, where we bring our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world to you, wherever you are.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, he is. Notice we don't say he rose. Don't say he rose, we say he is risen, because he still lives. Amen? Our Messiah is alive and well. This is important for many reasons, which we spend a good portion of our time at church on Sundays learning and trying to absorb and understand. Amen? And his death conquered the sin which kept God's people captive. But now that we are free from those chains, now that God's people are no longer bound to sin and death, we are to live free. Amen? Oh man, I got real quiet. I guess the point is we don't just point back to what happened and say he rose. We say he is risen as a way to proclaim a reality that continues today. Are you free? Are you free? See a lot of, yeah. Do your lives reflect the freedom which your hope has given you? Sometimes. Do you know an unconquerable hope deep within the depths of your heart, your soul, deep in your bones? Unconquerable hope. When you turn on the news, engage with a friend, listen to the ramblings of those who are addicted to the political noise, where everything is agenda-based. Amen? One-sided perspective meant to get you to keep watching. Do you have an unconquerable hope? Which is why you said, yeah, I may turn the news on, but I turn it right back off. I heard you say that. When pain and sickness and disease and the joys of aging rear their heads, do you maintain an unconquerable hope on the good days? When we think about our siblings in Christ who around the world are facing threat, imprisonment, death, for living their faith and gathering together on Sunday morning, do we have an unconquerable hope? When people are mean or rude or selfish, or sneering at you because they remain in captivity and they are their own gods, do you maintain an unconquerable hope? As Christians, as followers of a risen Messiah, as children of God who know the direction of all things and that it's already been accomplished, we must maintain our hope. We must maintain our hope. We maintain our bodies, right? On good days, we maintain our house, we maintain our cars, we maintain our relationships. We must work to maintain our hope as well. You don't just whistle for it and it suddenly appears, does it? If you depend upon that when you hit the hard times, you're going to be feeling lost. We must care about our hope intentionally and regularly and daily in every way we can. And we must encourage that hope in one another because we're going to face moments where we need that hope. Why? Why must we face those moments? Because we've been called to live differently. We've been called to live by that reality which has been accomplished and is being accomplished while we're still in the middle of this reality. In baptism, we accepted that calling. Amen? To embody the very Spirit of God, to be living stones, living temples, wandering the world, bringing the presence of God. So we're going to hear from our scripture passages this morning, and we're going to talk about our calling into hope and what it means to maintain it. So let's hear from Psalm 66 and 1 Peter 3.
Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net, You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats, Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Be to God. Always be ready. Always be ready. Remember the toilet paper crisis of 2020? Wasn't that fun? There was someone who may be a part of this congregation, maybe in this room. I won't say their name. They believed in hoarding toilet paper long before COVID-19. They filled their basement with several items, not just toilet paper. But they got grief for their years of this practice, teased, because they had huge stockpile. But then 2020 rolled around, and they got to smile a little bit, because they were prepared. Yeah. We were all scrambling empty aisles trying to find toilet paper, and this person had enough to give to family to supply their needs as well. They had all the toilet paper they needed. Maybe this person knew something we didn't. Maybe they were a little bit obsessive. Didn't matter. They were prepared when the need arose. I would wager that this person didn't know the crisis was coming, but they prepared anyway. If we'd all known what was coming, wouldn't we have prepared? Think about that. If we all knew what was coming, wouldn't we have made sure to be ready? Hold that agreement in mind. Peter is writing to a first century church, urging them to be ready. Not ready for a mad dash for toilet paper, but a crisis nonetheless. This crisis wasn't of any one particular thing, but there will be crises that come up in our lives. When Jesus died on the cross, the chains of sin were broken. We were freed. Mary discovered that empty tomb, and she knew that death had been conquered. And even though the men she knew thought she was crazy, her hope would not be swayed. She knew deep in her bones. Every day since that first Easter morning, we have been responding to the hope that Mary first discovered and delivered in that instance. Death was no longer in charge and holding power over us. We need not fear it. All the powers and the principalities of the world, the authorities, as Peter says, who stood against God, they also were dealt a fatal blow because their weapons were taken from them. Do we truly, deep in our bones, believe this? Do we have this hope? Or at least, are we getting there? If the powers of sin, which look like pride and greed and indulgence and slander and fear, if they have been dealt a fatal blow, then in their desperation, there will be conflict. Amen? Like a cornered, wounded animal, they will become more dangerous. Like when pollen is saturating the air and your body is ready to defend itself, there will be misery as the fight is had. We know our bodies know what to do. Some of us even get shots, it helps. But we know there will be misery as our body fights. Amen? That's what we're living today. Christ is the antibody, the power of sin and death. The victory was won when he died and rose, but that battle is still being played out, which is why it's important that we say he is risen. Because the conflict is still here. Sin and pride and greed, indulgence, slander and fear persist. Can I get an amen? They may know, they may not know that their days are numbered. The day is coming when there will be no place for them. They will be in the past. Amen? Do we have this hope? Yeah. Do we acknowledge the conflict around us? Yes. Do we understand that conflict is both inevitable and necessary? Maybe we struggle with that bit. We want to get better, right? We want to get through the allergy season. We want to see the evil things in the world overpowered and flushed from existence like a virus from our bodies. So then, conflict is inevitable and necessary to do that. The question is not if we'll face conflict, it's when. By whom? The bigger question is, are we ready for the conflict? Because it may come today. It may have already come this morning. Everyone's sitting with the person they usually sit with, so I don't know there's too much conflict. The key to being ready is understanding that we are to be set apart. We are made holy by Christ's death, resurrection, exaltation, into which we were baptized, all right? To be set apart, to be holy, that's what the word means, set apart, means you are designated for a specific purpose. There are things in your life, things you have in your home that are designated for something very specific, right? You don't eat the normal everyday meal on the good china, right? If you even have china anymore. You pull that out for a special reason. It's a different type of meal. We are to live differently, not the way we did. We're to live differently than the rest of the world. The hard part is that we use words like battle, conflict, defeat, and victory. And those are great words. But we often picture them like the rest of the world pictures them. And that's where we can get confused. We gravitate toward picking up weapons, ready to use our words, our fists, whatever it is, for the kind of fight that we encounter, for the kind of conflict that we receive. We want to respond in kind. And then we want to think that that's what we're supposed to do. But remember, we are holy, we are set apart, we are to be different. We're called to be ready in an entirely different way. If we're physically and literally punched in the face by someone who is still captive by the evils of this world, should we be surprised? Maybe in the moment. Do we punch them back? Aren't we just playing their game? If someone says something to you that's not kind, do you say something back? Do you play their game? You remember, you're set apart for something different. Your hope lies in something else, not winning the fight. That's where turn the other cheek comes in. Entirely different way to respond. That's the kind of response Peter is calling the church to, then and now, to be ready. Don't play the games. Leave it behind. Be holy, be set apart. Maintain your hope as your preparation so that you can live into your holiness instead of apartness. That's not easy, which is why we are called to maintain our hope constantly. Daily, we should remember that Christ is risen, that the world is in conflict. It's inevitable, it's necessary, and that we are a part of the process in our own way. We never know how it might play out. Maybe we aren't facing authorities who are punishing us for our faith, but that day could come. It's a reality for many. It's been a reality in the past. Who's to say it won't in the future? Don't think that conflict cannot come in that form. Even if authorities aren't the source of conflict, our peers are, aren't they? You had some conflict with your peers lately? Fellow human beings, dare I say your fellow Christian peers? Anyone had some conflict with some Christians lately? Raise your hand. You have. If you haven't, great. It's extremely rare that I encounter a non-Christian who slanders me or who is rude to me, causes conflict because of my faith. It's almost never happened. I've got a great personal close friend. He's an atheist. He loves that I'm a pastor. He supports the work that I do. He doesn't believe in it, but he sees the good and he encourages it. And then I know people who are Christians who don't support the work. Most often it's a sibling of Christ who's pointing the finger, slandering, causing turmoil. But most often those actions are caused by pain. Hurt people hurt people. Amen? Pain due to a lack of hope. Maybe not overall, but in the moment. We've all been there, haven't we? I have. Oh, I've pointed my finger a lot. We've lost hope. We've placed the burden of conflict upon our own shoulders or upon the shoulders of others. We've experienced disappointment, and we've responded with judgment and self-righteousness. I'm not the only one, am I? So we should all understand when we see it in our Christian sibling, we should get it. We understand. We know the pain. And we should be readying ourselves not to join in that fight. Not even in our minds, friends. Not in gossip with someone as you say, guess what they said or did. We must maintain our hope in all ways at all times. We should respond in our hope with grace, with mercy, with forgiveness, with love. We should not hold things against our siblings of faith due to their reactions, to their pain. I thank God for the grace I've been given. Have you received grace? It's crucial that I remember what God has done for me. It's vital that I remember what other peoples have done for me through grace. There are many. Everyone in this room, if we can't regard our sibling in Christ with unconquerable hope, how can we ever do that to anyone else? How can we ever have that hope for people outside of our circle of faith? We need to pray, friends, for hope. Amen? We need to start with our own hope so that we are ready to live it out in the moments of conflict. Once we get a good handle on maintaining our hope, then we can work on helping others build it as well. Then we can know that we are ready for the world around us when we step out those doors, when we wake up in the morning, when we go about our day. The day of the Lord has begun. And it will be completed. Amen. Christ is risen. So then let us live into an Easter reality. Let us live a life reflecting a living hope. Let us prepare for whatever comes our way. Stockpile the hope the time you need it. Always be ready to serve a risen Christ in whom we find our hope. In any given moment, so that the world may come to know that hope through us, that our hope can disarm hurting people, and that people around us can feel safe to know they don't have to fight that fight with us. that they can come to trust the God who's been revealed in and through us through that same Spirit that Jesus had as well. Amen? Amen.
We thank you for joining us today, and it is our hope that you have experienced the blessing of God through our time together. If you'd like to know more about our church community and its ministries, visit our website at sellersburgumc.com.